Come on, welcome Brother Damon as he brings the word to us this morning.
Ooh, check one. There we go. Good morning. One of these days I'm going to learn where that button is. I continually push and push and nothing happens. The rings are rebuked in Jesus' name. No ringing this morning. By the way, you know, this really irks Brother Napoleon. He will never say it, but it might be a good idea. We do it in the movie theaters, but you might want to make sure your phones are silenced. Brother Napoleon is like, man, you need to make an announcement because it never fails. Every assembly is like somebody's phone is going to go off. I'm like, mute it. So I'm making an announcement for him this morning. Yeah, he really could hurt you. If not physically, with a glare. Praise God. Definitely, as I said earlier, as many guests can show up tomorrow and be a blessing, I know it would be greatly appreciated. Sister Lou would just love, as she was saying earlier, we are her family. And so we want to be there to love on her. Yes, sir. Whenever the services are concluded there, probably. You know. So, definitely show up and be a blessing in that regard to Sister Lou. Today we're going to be talking about something that I think is not only within the body of Christ, and one thing about it, I think Pastor Jim has done an excellent job of instilling that in this body, what I'm going to talk about today, but just in general, I mean, you see so much disrespect among humanity. People, I don't know what's wrong with people. We talk to each other like any old kind of way. We disregard each other, and the sad thing about it, when it trickles into the body of Christ, God forbid, that should not be, that should not be the case. So what we're going to be talking about today is the importance, and like I said, the body here, God has given us a shepherd that has implanted the importance of showing and receiving honor in this body. He really did an awesome job of teaching not only to honor, but to receive honor. And that's one thing we're going to be talking about, is the importance of honor today. Father God, I thank you this day for your word. I praise you, Father God, that, Father, you speak to our hearts, Father God. You show us that, Lord God, you've placed people that we come in contact with in our lives, Father God, for the reason of showing forth your goodness and your love, Father God. And so I pray more than ever, Father, that we understand the importance of that and we allow the same heart that Christ Jesus had to be emblazed in our heart, Father God, that we will love others, that we would honor them the same way, Father, you honor us, Father God. We rejoice. We praise you for your word. We thank you, Father God. It does not return void, but it accomplishes what you send it forth this day, Father God. Thank you, sir. Praise God. So as I said, in society today, dishonor is everywhere. I mean, you have children that dishonor their parents. You have employees that dishonor their bosses. You have people who don't respect government leadership. It's just rampant. And the sad thing about it is when people in the body dishonor not only the leadership, but one another. And I firmly believe that even though this is going on and we see it happening, I believe it's a time and season where God is raising up a people who have a full understanding of what honor is, giving and receiving it. I really believe that. And one thing, you look at the root of the word honor, it comes from the Hebrew word for it is kabod, which literally means something heavy or weighty. It basically means a figurative position where something, almost to this extent, is to say to give weight to someone. By giving honors, you're giving weight to them. You think about the time when the people were called and God would anoint a king. That oil was symbolic of the hand of God on that person. And they were honoring that position, that place that that person was called to. To honor someone then is to give weight or to grant a person a position of respect and even authority in one's life. A person grants honor, and most frequently on the basis of position, wealth, or status, but it can and should also be granted on the basis of their character. See, that's the part of honor that, and it's just like respect. You know, you hear the term respect isn't something that's given, it's something that's earned. And so when we give honor to someone, it's literally because we acknowledge the character of God, we acknowledge who God has called them to, we put them in that position as a choice of our own. We can either choose to have it or not have it. But get this, the key verse I want us to look at in as kind of to summarize everything is Romans chapter 13, verse 7. Romans chapter 13, verse 7. You have your Bibles, you can turn there. Romans chapter 13, verse 7. It says, render to all what is due them. Tax to whom tax, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. I don't know why is it the time when, and this, God forbid, is the mindset that we have, but I don't know why we wait till somebody's in the other side to start throwing our roses at them. I mean, and I guess it's just, you know, resentment comes with familiarity. You just know somebody in passing, but you don't realize until they're gone how much. A brother of mine was sharing just the other day. He was talking to a group of young people, and he said, you know, my mother passed away when I was 9, and I used to watch kids, you know, talking about their mother. They would do a report, school report, and they would talk, and I would immediately get sad because I realized I could never share the report that I had wrote with my mother. And he goes, young people, you don't realize, we'll talk, I'm kind of getting ahead of myself, but he said, you don't realize how valuable it is when you have your parents that can tell you I love you every day. I'll never have that the rest of my life. But he said, we take these things for granted, and therefore we disregard and become familiar with what's, you know what I'm saying? We become familiar with the things that we see every day and we come in contact with. But we have to realize the importance of as the scripture says, giving honor to whom honor is due. We ask ourselves, besides God, who deserves honor? If we honor God, church family, guess what? That also means we must honor others that he has placed in our lives. Honor can only come from, guess what? A heart that is meek, a submitted life. And scripture tells us the very promise of what meekness is. He said, the meek shall inherit the earth, which is all tied to what the scripture tells us about seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Part of walking in righteousness is walking in honor and showing that honor to one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. And in doing so, that's, like I said, it's an aspect of being part of the kingdom. Showing that honor, that gratitude of having others in our lives. Philippians 2 verse 3 says, listen at this, do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. You know, and that's the thing that I think gets a lot of people in trouble on a day-by-day basis is because we don't consider other people before we consider ourselves. And so it's easy for me, if I'm not walking in that regard, it's easy for me to open my mouth and say something that's contrary to the will, plan, and purpose of God. And God forbid, if that's a believer and I'm speaking something contrary to the will of God into their life, I've become a weapon formed against them. And I've cut off my prosperity. So it's important for us to get, and you know what? The reason why I want to really focus on this today is because outside forces that we live in is trying so hard to get us to side with things that are not eternal, things that are not of the kingdom. And so you find yourself in a situation where you're speaking outside of what it is written says. And one thing we're going to see about honor is that when Jesus even honored the Pharisees, even though he called them, you vile generation of vipers, he still respected the position that they had. Even though they were religious and wrong as all get out, he still respected them. When you look at the mindset of even David. David got on a guy who decided that he was going to behead or try to kill Saul. Because he said, no, that's who God has anointed. And Saul was all jacked up. We know Saul wasn't walking as the king that God anointed him to, but David respected him in the office that he honored that position. And in doing so, he could make sure that when his time came, he would be honored. So it's what it says, give honor to whom honor is due. Now the scripture that we just read in Philippians, the Apostle Paul, who evangelized the then known world, who went around declaring, decreeing the word of God to people, to the Gentiles, this man who did, I would venture to say, more than any of the other apostles before him, when you look at the letters that he wrote, he calls himself the least of the apostles. He calls himself not even worthy to be considered an apostle, least of all the saints. I mean, he puts himself in the background, but look at all that God did through him. I believe because he allowed himself, he put these other guys, let's look at what they did. I mean, I'm not saying that Paul was, he didn't have his issues, but once he had that revelation of who Christ was, brother went raw for the kingdom. Yeah. I mean, he went in, but you look at what Jesus' own disciples who walked with him, they boogied when all the oppression came, but Paul consistently declared the Messiah to people that he was led to. And like I said, evangelized at that time the then known world, but yet and still he considered them greater than himself. And that's the one thing, when you purpose to put others before you, you don't ever have to worry about God exalting you. Because he'll put you in that place of a common. He is regarded, like I said, as the apostle that did more than all of them. But his attitude toward himself was, I'm the least of all of them. Even John the Baptist walking in a position where he's, baptizing all of these people that came. And they say, man, are you the one? Now, at that time, if you are arrogant, son of a gun, you'd be like, yeah, I'm the one. But look at John the Baptist's attitude. He says, I must decrease that he may increase. All these people coming to see you. You're the man. At that point, you got an opportunity to get the spotlight and shine with it. But no, I must decrease that he may increase. And look what happened. As a result of his life, what did Jesus say? Jesus honored him saying, truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has never been anyone greater than John the Baptist. So I'm saying, if you make sure that Christ is exalted, he will always make sure. That's one of the promises of Abraham that came to Abraham. God said, I will make your name great. But do you believe in me enough to honor me, to obey me in the fact that I'm telling you, leave everything. When people ask you, why are you leaving? You look crazy because you're leaving. You're putting me in that place of honor. I will make your name great. And that's exactly what happened here in these situations with both the Apostle Paul, John the Baptist. They were willing to take the back seat, which all of us should be willing to take the back seat to seeing Christ exalted. But today what I want us to do is look at a few areas, and we're going to bring it home, a few of the areas in the Word of God that we are encouraged to show honor. And the first one I talked about was earlier. And Brother Bob is going to smile when I mention this, because the first area is honoring our parents. Honoring our parents, but guess what? It doesn't stop there. It's also honoring our children. Exodus 20, verse 12, which goes into the Ten Commandments. We know this passage very familiar. Honor your mother and father, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving. Honor your father and mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving. And then Paul, in Ephesians chapter 6, he restates the same commandment, but he goes on to say, it is the first commandment with a promise.
Yep.
It's the first commandment with a promise. You know what? And you know what? It doesn't say honor them if they're honorable.
Exactly. Come on.
Doesn't say that. Yeah. It says honor them, period. So that your days may be long upon the earth. I find it interesting. God didn't put a condition. Well, my mom and daddy are alcoholics. Honor them. Well, my mom and daddy said this about me. Honor them. Because you're obeying the commandment of God, which has a promise attached to it. You know, you can look at the adverse side of it. If you don't honor them, you're cutting your days short. There's no condition on whether you honor them or not. We're to honor them for who they are. And the one thing that I can share with you is in my life, my natural father growing up, he wasn't around, he wasn't in my life, but every now and then he would come around and visit. And, you know, as a little kid, you're excited to see your father. He's like coming to see you, like you're excited. And it was a consistent thing that he wouldn't show up. He'd say he was coming, then all of a sudden it's like, well, something came up, I'm not coming. And I'm like, you know, let down. Well, over years, you start becoming a teenager and your heart starts getting hardened. I didn't want to have nothing to do with the dude. I thought he was a loser. And I'd tell him in his face. And when the king, when the Lord Jesus saved my life, redeemed me, one of the very first things that he said was, you need to forgive your father. That was like the very, I mean, it's like, and I'm like, but I got it. Even though it was a hard thing, I got what the Lord was saying. And so, and at that time, I was in college. I was a freshman at UT. And so I called him one day, and I told him, I said, Dad, I just wanted to let you know that I forgive you. I forgive you. And, you know, and it was almost like by doing that and by honoring him for who he was, it's like God not only locks something in my life, but he unlocks something in his life too.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And I saw my dad from that moment. He changed. He wasn't in church, wasn't serving God. But next time I was talking with him, he's like, yeah, I'm going to the potter's house. I'm an usher. He got plugged into the purpose of God. And that really blessed me. But God said it all started when you acknowledged who he was. When you put him in a place of honor and showed that honor and forgave him. And so that's one thing we have to realize. And one other man of God who constantly blew me away the way that he showed honor was Pastor Jim, of how he honored his mother. He honored his father. Didn't agree with everything. Now, let me tell you something. Honoring doesn't mean you have to agree with everything that they say or do.
Right.
But it's still means you acknowledge who they are and who God has placed them in your life, and you give them that honor because, like I said, it's a promise attached to that. It's a promise, and we cut ourselves short if we don't walk in that fullness. But it doesn't just stop there. It stops reverse to the children. Parents, it's the importance that we have to honor our children. You know, God modeled that himself. God honored Christ. At his baptism, he says, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Then when he was on the mountain of transfiguration, he said, this is my beloved son, hear him. He honored his own. Now, if God was willing, and amongst all the people around and amongst those disciples that heard, if he was willing to show honor to his son, parents, likewise, we're to honor our children in who they are, not for what they do, but who they are as our children. You know, the disciples were like, man, these little rug rats are here. And Jesus said, no, suffer the little children. Bring them here. I want to bring them. He said, because they're kind, the way they are, that's the way the kingdom of God is. So we need to honor even in our children. The Bible tells us, he says, fathers, don't provoke your children to wrath. Don't provoke them to wrath. You know how a lot of times we can provoke them to wrath is with this thing right here. Once again, we can honor our children, and even if they're not walking in the fullness of who they are, we can change that with this. But we can provoke them to wrath if we start saying, you ain't going to amount to nothing. Don't let those words come out of your mouth. Honor your children for the fact that God gave, they are gifts from God. And just like God himself was willing to honor his own son, the same way, if they, and you've heard the story, Brother Bill was talking about, you know, how they went down to 6th Street. Their son wasn't walking nowhere near where God intended, but they honored. Just like the father of the prodigal son. I'm going to wrap this boy with this robe of righteousness. I'm going to put the signet ring of sonship on him, even though he's stinky, even though he's not walking. I'm going to honor him for the fact that he is my son. And that's that. By doing that, by honoring a child, showing forth who they are to us and also to God, can change their whole life by honoring them for who they are. So that's it. So honor, showing forth to parents and both children. The next thing we're going to talk about, finna get in y'all's house, honoring spouses. Honoring our spouses. You know, when a husband and a wife honors each other in the individual capacities that they both bring, they clearly show what it means to be one. Ephesians 5, it tells us the job description. Husbands, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to love our wives as Christ loved the church. And then he tells wives, you're not off the hook. He says, submit to that man as unto God. That's important. We have to walk in that. Both of these actions that come from the husband and the wife honoring each other honor God. They bring honor to God. And so, you know, I always go back to what I shared with you guys several weeks ago. When we got counseled, when we were married, a man of God told us, he said, look, he told me, he counseled us individually, but then together. But when he individually counseled me, he brought me to this passage in Ephesians, and he said, brother, this is your job description as the husband. You ain't got time to focus on her submitting to you. That's not your job. You honor her by loving her like Christ loved the church. Period. You keep it there. Don't worry about her action towards you, because I guarantee you, if you're walking in this realm, you ain't got to worry about the vice versa side of her submitting to you, because she's going to submit to you because you're loving her. And vice versa. Same thing. He says, sister, you focus on submitting to that man as unto God, because that's the man he placed. And if you're doing that, you don't ever have to worry about him loving you. So each one, if we're both focused on honoring each other in the task that the scripture says each one of us are supposed to walk in, there will never be no issues. There are always issues when we start focusing on he not doing what he's supposed to. She not doing, well, brother, focus on your job. Are you doing your job? Are you loving her? Sister girl, are you submitting to that man of God? If you believe God brought that man, then you're going to obey and submit to the plan that God has for him. And then if we're doing that, we're creating a circle of oneness that can't be broken. But the issues come when we dishonor each other's job functions. Honor each other in the realm that God called us to, there'll be peace in the house. I promise you that. Men, it gets even deep. I'm just going to get a little deeper on the brothers, because I'm a man. I was just reading the scriptures. And Peter says, man, he goes, you know what? When we don't honor our wives, he says, we put our prayers in jeopardy. I don't want to walk. I don't want my prayers hindered because I'm not honoring my wife. And you know what, brothers? That just comes like the other day. My wife kept hinting that she wanted to get out and see a movie. And all the stuff started coming up. And then we had the little ones visiting. And God was like, even in the midst of preparing the message, he said, take her to the movies. I mean, when God knocks on your heart and tells you to do something for your wife, if you do it, guess what? You're going to come out looking golden on the other side, because he's going to take care of you. Paul says, even he gets a little deeper and says that I got to love that lady like I love my own body, because she is one. If she's hurting, I'm hurting. You know what I'm saying? We're one. So I got to love her. I don't like when my body gets cut. I don't like when I get a razor bump. You know what I'm saying? We have to cover her, men, the same way we want our own bodies covered. So that's just a little tidbit. But brothers, it gets deep on our end, because look what Jesus was willing to give up for us. The next element that I want to talk about is honoring the ministers of the gospel, those who bring, like we just were singing, about those that bring good news. How lovely are the mountains of those who bring good news, speaking forth his truth. And I thank God that we had a man of God who modeled that to us, the importance of that. That's something that I'm telling you, before House of the Lord, I've never seen any church, I promise you this, maybe on the occasion of maybe birthdays, but I don't think I ever saw a church body honor the ministry leadership. I've never seen that. True. True. And the sad reality is that the people cut themselves off from being a blessing because they didn't esteem the leadership. And so, or like Brother Derek said, I've seen a situation where it was forced on the people. It was like, you know, you have to do this. It's not just something, God forbid, because anything that we do, if it's not done out of a heart of love, if it's not done out of a heart of I want to be a blessing, please don't do it. Because there's no blessing attached to it. You know, even in the scripture says that when we give to God, we don't give out of necessity. We do it out of a cheerful heart. That's even when we're giving to other people. If I just throw somebody some money, it's like, here, take this. Man, there's absolutely no blessing attached to that. It's like, I want to give it the same way I would want somebody to give it to me. Out of a heart of sincere love. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17, it says, let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. And you think about in the old covenant, 2 Kings, when Elijah was about to be taken up, Elijah would not leave his side. And Elijah kept telling him, man, you just need to stay here because, you know, I'm going away. But that man of God stuck to him like glue. And then he had the haters on the other side, the sons of the prophets, saying, you know, the man of God is about to be taken. So they basically telling him, don't keep going. Elijah said, no, I'm not gonna let go. I'm gonna keep following him. I'm gonna keep following him to the end, you know, showing him honor. And one thing that blessed me was that when it came down to it and Elijah saw that he was not going to stop following, he said, ask of me whatever you, and he says, give me a double portion of the spirit that's on. And you know, there is a blessing attached to faithfulness. I want to encourage you, those who have stuck to the vision of this body, there is a blessing attached to your faithfulness to honor the vision of the house, to come consistently, to not give up. You know, so many over the years, so many put their hands to the plow and they got unhooked, whether they got their feelings hurt for no reason other than they were in their feelings or something was said that they got offended by. But those things are never any reason for us to unhook and to show dishonor. Never, never. But you know, the amazing thing about Pastor Jim and the walk that he exuded, that man never said a word about those individuals that forever, and some of them even stabbed him in the back and hurt him, but he never, ever showed any dishonor or disrespect to those individuals. And there's a lesson in that, that no matter what people do or say to us, guess what? We should shake it off and realize that if they're not doing it under God, he's going to handle it. It's not our job to handle it. It's not our job to get vocal about it or anything, but to show him that same love that the Father would show him, to walk according to his plan and still honor them. But most churches, because of the fact they don't, and we know this is a fact, most people that don't honor the leadership, they immediately have cut themselves off spiritually, numerically, and financially. Because if you can't honor, it's just like in the natural. If a sheep decides it wants to leave the herd, if the wolves come, guess what? It's not the shepherd's fault. They chose to leave. And so there is covering in the midst of us showing honor. And when the man of God was not going to let go of Elijah, he was getting taken. Elijah said, man, you got what you want. He got that double portion. And like I said, church family, I want us to understand, Pastor Jim is gone. He's in a place where I know he's before the presence of God on a daily, eternally celebrating. He's not sad that he's where he is. But the issue is now, are we going to take up the mantle? Are we going to take up the mantle and show honor to the man of God and what he taught us, what he impacted in us, what he put in us? Are we going to walk it out to the fullness and be the church that he's called us to be? Honor has to come from a sincere heart, like I said, if there's to be any blessing in it. And so when one thing I've learned from Pastor is that when someone honors you, when someone blesses you, immediately bless them. You know, someone the other day blessed me with some, and me and my wife were there, and I was like, Father, I just speak abundant blessing on their lives. This has become a second nature thing to me to just speak blessing, because guess what? First of all, they don't have to honor you. They don't have to, but they've made that choice. And as a result of them choosing to honor who God has called us to be, I want that person to be blessed. I want them to be exceedingly blessed in everything, because they're not in acknowledging who I am as a representative of the kingdom of God. They're honoring him, because he's the one that sent me. That's why I say you got to be very careful how you treat somebody. My brother Bob, we were talking about that earlier. You got to be very careful how you treat somebody that's in the household of faith. Because if you're coming against them and not honoring them for who they are, Lord have mercy. Now I want to show us other examples of how Scripture talks about showing honor. And this is one that really, I'm telling you, I don't know how we got in this predicament, but man, and Brother Bob, Brother Bill was talking about this the other day when he was here. The dishonor in our society of those of the older generation, or I should say seasoned saints, people, and not just in the church, but I'm talking about people have this disregard among people who are elder. And that's where you can find more wisdom. There was a Levitical law in Leviticus 19:32. It says, you shall rise before the gray-headed and honor the presence of an old man and fear your God, for I am the Lord. That was a commandment that they had. But yeah, we put old people aside like, oh, bless their heart, they don't know nothing no more. What? Are you kidding me? The wealth and the wisdom that's found in people who have, guess what? They've been here longer than us. So they've seen some things. And by listening to them, we can avoid a lot of mistakes. But we just disregard them in society. We put them aside, put them in a nursing home, put them or whatever, because we feel that they don't have anything to contribute. Are you kidding me? I want to sit at those people's feet and just tell me, what was it like? Especially those who were raised in the church and saw, you know, things happen. That's wisdom, church family. You can't buy with all the gold in the world. But yet and still, we put them aside. Even in church services, we want the, like Brother Bill was saying, we want the lasers and the smoke. No. That stuff is good, yes, but to replace the wisdom of the generations, God forbid. And like I said, I think that's why we're going to put ourselves in a situation that by disregarding the wisdom of former generations, we're going to be walking around scratching our head trying to figure out stuff that they knew had the answer to, but because we disregarded them as irrelevant, we're basically cutting our own throats when we walk like that. So I would encourage you, the people that you see, the Sister Marilyns and the Sister Winnies of this body, man, love on those people. They were here from the beginning. And the wisdom that's in them, Sister Gail and all these people who God has, they've been here from the beginning, sit at their feet and learn and get the wisdom that God has put in them. It's, guess what? They are not irrelevant. They are not irrelevant in this body. They have a place. They have a voice. And by listening to the wisdom that God has put in them, it can teach us how to avoid a lot of pitfalls that may be along the way. So we don't, in this church body, we will never disregard anyone who is seasoned. I'm like 3 years before I'm a Jubilee, but guess what? I don't be one of the flyest Jubilees you ever seen.
But I feel they feel the same way. They're not done. God has much more in store for them. But I just, like I said, I want us to always remember that we hold those people who have walked out some stuff and seen God's hand do something, we hold them in high regard. And the wisdom that's in them, we want to milk it out of them. Hey, sit down and tell us how it was. And I guarantee you they will be willing to do it. But let's honor those that are seasoned, those of the older generation that have so much more that they can impart in us. The next thing that we find in the Word is in 1 Timothy 5:3. 1 Timothy 5:3, Paul orders Timothy, he says, honor the widows who are indeed widows. You know, Sister Lou is entering a new phase of life. She you know, walked with Pastor Dim all these years. But guess what? She is not alone. I ain't hear nobody say. I'm going to say it again. Sister Lou is not alone. We're going to honor her. We're going to love her. And that is very clear. That is, she is not by herself. But that's what anyone that we know of, who, whether it be a widow or a widower, those people, especially if it's somebody that they've been with for, it doesn't matter how long, but sometimes when you've been with somebody that long and that void is there, they need love. They need covering, because all the temptations that come with, you know, with the grief, you start feeling like there's no one that cares for me. And that's how the enemy can get a lot of people taken away before their time. Because he gets them to think, oh, you just all by yourself now. But no, love on those people who have loved ones that have gone on. Love them. Let them know they're appreciated. Let them know that God still has a plan and purpose for their lives. Amen. Another area that the Word of God encourages us is how we honor those who are in authority over us, whether it be employers or bosses. 1 Timothy 6:1. You can write this down, 1 Timothy 6:1, it says, all who are under the yoke as slaves are to regard their own masters as worthy of all honor, so that the name of God and our doctrine will not be spoken against. And once again, like I said, I don't ever want us, and then of course it mentions slaves here, but it's, of course we're talking about the fact that we understand authority. There is a person who we're working for, that person is the head of that organization, and so we're to respect their authority. There's one thing that bugs me about even people that I work with. They're constantly calling. Now, my boss, he is an assistant dean of my college, okay? So his by right, he is, you call him dean. But they are so familiar with him, just calling him by his first name, and I've never been able to do that. Why? Because when he's in his office, when he's operating out of the position that he is, then I respect that by calling him. Just like if you have someone that has a PhD and they're walking in their realm, we call them doctor. Now, if we can understand that about, you know, on a surface level, how much more in the kingdom? So it's important that we not get familiar with the authorities that God has placed in our lives. But we show honor to those people. And guess what? Even if they're not walking right, if you're honoring them, God covers you. It's not your job. It's not our job to correct them. God will deal with that, and he can deal with them a lot better if we're putting them in a position of honor. Like I said, even Jesus showed honor to the silly Pharisees who were so religious that they couldn't see who he was, but yet he still honored the place of position that they were in. He didn't honor how they were, but he still honored the position of which they were called. So we shouldn't get familiar with appointed offices, but respect them in the capacity that they're called. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 5 through 8, it says, slaves, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in the sincerity of your heart as to Christ, not by way of eye service as men pleasers, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With good will, render service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good thing each other does, this will receive back from the Lord, whether slave or free. So once again, When I'm honoring that person in that capacity for which they're working or serving in, I should be doing it as unto the Lord. Because my reward, guess what? It doesn't come from them. It comes from the God who I serve. And a lot of times people cut themselves off from promotion, from so many things that God can use as conduits through that individual to bless them because they dishonor them. They get in the coffee room and start talking bad about that individual. They're the first ones to leave early. They're late. You know, but no, if we honor the God who gave us that job, then we'll honor the authority. You see what I'm saying? That job has put that person in that position. The scripture says that all authority, and I'm going to get to it in a few minutes, but all authorities in the earth, guess who placed them there? God. So that person is there because God put them there. And if I want the blessing of God to flow from them, I got to respect them in their place of business. I got to respect that they're the head for a reason. And in doing something, like it says here, we show forth who Christ is, that the passage that we looked at earlier. We don't want our doctrine, especially you walking around saying, I'm a believer at work, but then you see you with a crummy attitude toward them. Oh, wow, you really some believer. I can really believe you, what you believe in, because by the way we treat them, we can open the conduits of blessing that God has. It's just the importance of honoring. The next one is honoring the government leadership. Somebody said, But hey, that's what the scripture says it. Matthew 22, verse 21. They brought a coin to Jesus and they said, man, who, you know, should we pay taxes? And Jesus said, man, whose face is on there? They said, Caesar. And Jesus says here in this passage, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and God the things that are God's. Bottom line, if they've been placed in that position of authority in government, wherever, I've got to honor them. Might not agree with everything they say, might not agree with everything they do. But bottom line is, as a believer, I'm supposed to honor them. I'm supposed to respect them because as I'm doing so, I'm respecting the God who has authority over everything. And we cut ourselves short when we start, like I said, be careful. You know, this whole, I hate man-made systems because they're just that. They're man-made systems that negate the presence of God. And so we have all of these issues, but we don't run to God who's the source of all authority and get his wisdom. And so we just keep bumping up against a wall and we're trying to figure out why things aren't getting better. It's because we haven't honored. That's why God told him, he said, man, I really don't want y'all to have a king. I really don't want y'all to have, because why? We start putting our focus on people over God. We start, and that's the same way it is with government. We start putting our focus on people rather than the God who has all authority. And so, like I said, but the important thing is all authority has been placed here by God himself. And so by honoring, that's what blesses me every Wednesday night. We're decreeing God's hand is on the nation. His hand is on the nation. And if we believe that, we need to let what comes out of our mouth. Sometimes it's good to turn off the television because that's intended for me to say something different from the word, to get me to say something that will dishonor leadership. Like, why is he doing that now? Why, man, he's stupid. Oh, no, we have to do what the word tells us and honor those authorities and those positions that God has placed in the earth the way he would. Jesus stood before Herod and he never said, man, Herod, you're... No, he stood there and took everything that came, but he still declared who he was. But he didn't, even unrighteous Herod, even Pilate, Jesus in the midst of standing before them, knowing they're coming to take his life, he didn't say nothing. Because he realized, y'all just doing what you got to do. My father decreed it. If it wasn't for my father, you wouldn't even be in this position doing what you're doing. So in other words, I'm going to tell you the power of walking in honor. You put yourself in a place where God is with you. And it might see in the world system, they think, well, you weak if you're walking like this. You weak. But no, you put yourself in a position of power when you can honor someone because you're walking in obedience to God. You're walking the way he would. Peter summed it up like this. Peter says this in 1 Peter 2:17. He says, honor all people. Honor all people. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. Romans 12:10, it says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. And the bottom line is, the thing is, if we desire to be honored, first honor must be showed by us. You know, and that's the one thing that whenever we have opportunities, like tomorrow, we have an awesome opportunity, not just to honor Pastor Jim, but to honor Sister Lou, honor that family, let them know that they're loved, let them know that they're appreciated. And by doing that, when you're willing to give, just like with anything else, whatever we're willing to give of ourselves, there's always going to be seed that we're planting that others will give back to us. You don't have to worry about yourself being honored, because if you're showing it to others, it's going to always come back to you, just like anything else. It's not that we strive or demand it of others, but that is a direct flow of how we honor our Heavenly Father. People who do not show honor usually have this issue because they don't honor God. If somebody is not honoring God for who he is, you can almost guarantee they're going to have a problem honoring someone else and showing honor to that individual, giving. But the scripture, like I says, it says honor all people. Peter said honor all people. Show that respect. It blows my mind that in this day and age, I don't understand it. Sometimes you just open the door for somebody and they look at you like you're crazy. Used to be a time people would say, thank you, I appreciate it. Not that that's expected, but you think it's almost like a mindset like, who are you? To open the door. People hate on you being kind. And I don't understand it. But nevertheless, guess what? That shouldn't stop you from being kind. Shouldn't stop you from showing honor. Because down the road, you never know that one act that you showed of honor in that individual, God could revisit it by knocking on their heart and say, remember that time that individual did this? Remember that time that person gave you that hug and you didn't want, why are you hugging on me? Or they gave you a card, it was because my love was reaching out through them to show you that I love you. So that's why it's important to show that brotherly love, that honor to all those that we come in contact with. Let us continue. And like I said, this is just a reminder, because guess what, church family? Y'all are a loving group of people. I mean, you're here. You're here. Those of you who are here, guess what? You're here. You made the choice to come. And then during times like this, like I was saying, it's so funny. My wife was talking about this in our Sunday classes, and Lauren was talking about it. People, like, they're almost like vultures. Whenever a senior pastor passes, it's like, ooh, they got an opening. Guess what? We've been well taught. We don't need hirelings here. Amen. We've been well taught. So, you know, that's not, if you notice, I don't think, and Brother Richard, he knows, I don't think nobody's been calling him, asking him if there's a job opening. If there is, I know he put him in check. We're going to be good. Yeah. We're going to be good, because Pastor taught us to understand and identify what's real, what's not real, based on it is written. And so if anyone stands here, if anyone is here, it's because the man of God, and I would encourage you, when you get a chance, go back, I think the prophecy, but look at the prophecy that Brother Brad gave. Just talking about the direction that God has taken us. It's a new day. It's a new day. I mean, like Sister Michelle said, I wish we had all the answers. But guess what? Pastors, he ain't singing no sad stories. And we shouldn't be either. Because now we're in a position to carry out the vision and bring honor to the man of God's vision that God gave him by our actions. And so, but I just wanted to encourage us to, with this word, to continue to continue as a church body to show honor both corporately and individually. Because guess what? People need to see that. People need, like I said, dishonor among society is so, people speak to in each other any old kind of way. And God, that does not please the heart of God. But it has to start in the house of the Lord. It has to start in our attitude toward one another. So continue to undergird each other, love on each other, continue to honor each other, continue in all the things that you've been taught. And in doing so, guess what? God will bring honor to this house. He will bring honor to this house, and he will elevate us to the purpose and plans that he has for us as long as we're walking in that honor of walking as sons of the Most High God. Amen? Continue it, because people are going to come in, and we've had it. We've had guests who've come. We've had churches who've come, and they've been inspired by how we honor one another. They've been inspired by the way leadership is honored, and it turned their church in a totally different direction because they saw that honor on display. And so I don't want to get ahead of myself. I know there are some things that are planned down the road, but I want us as a church body, and I might get ahead of myself, and forgive me if I am, but see these two people on this front row? Yep. I want us to begin to honor them because they are walking now in a realm that they probably wasn't anticipating, but I want us to give that same honor that we showed Pastor Jim and Sister Lou, same honor extended to them. To continue to pray that God would give them wisdom, God would give them direction. Brother, I would say the same way, the Word of God says the same way that God was with Moses, same way he was with Pastor Jim, he's with you and Sister Michelle. Yep. That is our decree. And I was looking at the prophecy from Brother Brad, and he told you, I don't know if you caught the end of it, he said it's going to be easy. It's going to be easy because of the foundation that the man of God planted in us. It's in him. It's in us, and we're going to walk out the vision of House of Lord Fellowship Church like never before by continuing to honor each other and the leadership that God has placed in his body. Amen? Amen. Were you blessed this morning? Yes. Praise God. Love you all. And like I said, as many can come tomorrow, come and be a blessing to Sister Lou and the family. I know they would love to see you. Amen. Brother Richard.
Well, praise God. Together we win. Together we honor, and together we stand and we go forward. Amen. Good word, Brother Damon. We appreciate you and your diligence to break the word of life to us and feed us well. Thank you. Thank you. We're going to say thank you to Brother Damon with some green. The bucket is up here. We're going to honor Brother Damon because he has fed us spiritually. We return with financial blessings. So if you're writing a check, make it to House of the Lord or to Damon. Otherwise, you want a record for it, you can put it in an envelope or just drop it in the bucket. God is good. Amen. Amen. Stand with us. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for the word that we've heard this morning. We thank you for each line that you have laid before us, Father God, for every section, for every area of our life, Father. You are requiring honor. And I thank you, Father, that it is our pleasure to honor you and to honor those that you have placed in our lives. Father, we thank you that the word will not be stolen from us. We will guard it. We will keep the birds away from it, from stealing it. We will keep the thorns and the briars from choking it out. We will make sure that that word has fallen into good ground and it produces much fruit. I thank you, Father God, for your word does not return to you void, but it accomplishes what you have sent it to. So we thank you, Father. Thank you that that word is ours. We hold on to it. It changes our lives this day, Father God. We thank you for it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now let's just thank God for his word. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for what we have heard, what we have received this day. We are grateful. We are thankful. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, Father, we just lift up Sister Lou before you. We thank you that your arms of love and comfort are wrapped around her and that she is in your hands, Father God. And I thank you that peace and joy rise up within her, Father God. I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that according to your word and your will, that you supply all of her need according to the riches of your glory. We praise you, Father God. Thank you for her, Father God. Blessed be your name. Thank you, Father God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I call you blessed. I call you the sons of the Most High God, daughters of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We speak blessings on you, that every weapon that is formed against you is brought down and is unprofitable. It does not prosper. And that everywhere you go, you're led forth with favor and with God's peace, his joy, and his love. And that everything you put your hand to is successful and you lack for nothing. There is no lack, no want, no need. Every bill paid, every obligation fulfilled, and every charitable donation available to bless each other. We call you the blessed of the Lord, and whom the Lord has blessed, none can curse. I love you. Go with God. Yeah, we need some help setting up.